Okay, we're rolling. Hey church, I just wanted to take some time to do this video for you. For those of you who have been a part of Word of Grace for a while, you might have seen some of the things that we're involved with. But at the end of this year, I wanted to also just take some time to give you a basic report of what we've been doing, financially especially, because that's not something we talk about much. But it's an important facet of what we do together. So I would like you to know, first of all, if you're someone who gives to Word of Grace Fellowship, I wanted to say thank you on behalf of us as a church, because you partnering with us is why we are able to do all the things we do. So with that said, I just want to go into some details of what we're doing with our finances, just so you have a clear idea of things. The making of this video is twofold. I want us to do things transparently. So as a 501c3 church, we want to be people who have transparent financials, so that if you as a member of this church would like to have a look at the numbers a little bit more closely, come and grab me or one of the elders and say, hey, I would like to see the financials, and we'd be happy for you to have a look through them. Secondly, and this is, I would say, the bigger part of why we're making this video, we want to invite you to continue partnering with what Word of Grace is doing, and keep you in the loop of what the things that happen in the background are and how things work. Okay, so if you are someone who is part of Word of Grace, we want you to feel connected to how we spend our money as well. So I just want to take some time right now. To give you a little bit of a breakdown of some big picture items. Okay, so how much of money did we spend in the last year? What was our budget for the last year? How much did we anticipate to receive, and how much we finally got? So some big pictures like that. I will just go through that here quickly. So in 2022, we had a budget of altogether $196,300. So we, as a smaller church, we don't run a very big expense budget. So we try and keep things low, especially because this building is ours. Now, over the previous years, in 2020 and 21, those were unusual years. So one of the things that the Lord had really asked us to do is to be a little bit more clear about what we were doing in the community and helping and serving our community. So you will start to see some of that shift reflected in how our finances worked as well. In 2022, $196,300 was our budget expenses. What we ended up spending this year, at close of books for the end of the year, where it's going to be roughly around $172,800. So let's say $173,000. So we have saved quite a lot on our expenses, and we came in well under budget. So that's a great thing. Now, from an income standpoint, just wanted to give you some pictures over there. Let me just see what it is. I just lost all my numbers. that first bit is good.
Okay.
And then I stopped and I started with the big numbers. Expense.
I can even cut it in the middle of your sentence.
Oh.
Because what I can do is I can I've chopped up syllables and changed an entire word by switching from camera A to camera B in that transition and no one recognizes.
Okay.
That's why the B camera's there. So if you feel like I didn't take like your syllables are just enunciated enough, I can split the chunk.
Okay. Do that whole thing, that whole section again, just so that we have it again. So I just want to give you a couple of big picture items about just how much we spent and how much we brought in and how that panned out versus our budget. So for the year 2022, we had a budget of $196,300. This includes the running of our building, our facilities, running our services, our staffing, our giving to other organizations, our tithing to other causes, all of these things put together a budget of $196,300. Now, over the year, we've not yet finished 2022 yet, but it looks like we're going to end up somewhere with an income or based on donations and gifts and offerings, we're going to end up somewhere in the region of $190,000 to $195,000. So our expense budget was on the higher side because the previous year our giving had increased dramatically because of the pandemic and things like that. Our focus was to give to community-related issues and for people who are struggling financially. So our income increased quite a bit in the last year. So this year it went down a little bit, but it was something that we were not concerned about at all because we're not a church that has big expenses. So I just want to give you a picture of what our expenses ended up being. So through the year, our budget was $196,300. Our actual expenses came in at $172,800 odd because the year is still finishing out. So we are well under budget, and we are a church that has been pretty frugal in how we handle some of the things on an internal basis. First of all, having a building of our own meant we could use it very judiciously. And so one of the biggest things that started to shift last year, was the fact that we started using our building a whole lot more than we had during the pandemic. So our costs had gone up as far as building and facilities went. We had meetings hosted here during the week. So those things meant our monthly budget for building and facilities went up quite a bit. Then we also had the knock-on effects of inflation and other things like that. So prices of energy, utilities, all that sort of stuff went up. So let me just give you a breakdown of how we spent this $172,800. Around 18.3% of our expenses went towards giving. And this was something that the Lord led us to do as an eldership in the year 2020, when the Lord told us to move away from what we would call a dollars and cents kind of 10% tithing of our income to our mission partners. That was something we were used to doing. The Lord led us to really start focusing on saying, if the Lord has given to us generously by faith, we also need to ask the Lord, what would you have us give? Not a dollars and cents figure to the dollar for 10%. So with that in mind, our giving increased a lot since 2020. We're now at about 18.3% of our total income that we give out. So on that, our missions, outreach, and giving was at $31,562. And that was to all of our mission partners, people who had needs in the church or in the community that had a financial need. places that we gave to, or organizations that were doing a certain drive or a cause that we believed in and we supported. Secondly, we spent about 17% on our administration and facility management. So that is the running of this, the church building, and the background office related work. Okay, so all the little things that we need to do to make sure the church operates, that was 17%. For staffing and payroll, we're gonna come in just under 50%. Now that is a really good figure considering we have a staff of 5 people right now, and so the goal is always to try and stay as close to that 50% ballpark of total expenses. Our church ministries and services, totally we spent $11,300 because we have our own building, so we don't need to spend money on a lot of that. So it was the running of the services, things like communion, books, materials, things that we need to do to actually run the services, equipment for ministry, for media, for our online services, things like that. Things that went into actually ministries and services and running it was about 6.5% of that. Then to maintain this purpose that the Lord gave us since 2020 to start really looking for a new place, because we have now grown as a church to a place where most Sundays there aren't many seats left, but also we've had to make decisions to start having a full kids service to accommodate all of our children. Right now we have about 35 to 40 children every Sunday, which is a great thing, and we want to serve our kids well. Similarly, on upstairs we have anything between 80 to 100 people. So it's, when you put those numbers together for a building this size, we're already pushing it. So we are asking the Lord to really give us a new space, and that has been something that we have diligently been working towards and saying, Lord, give us money first of all for a new space, but then also, Lord, give us clear vision for this. So towards that, we had started setting aside money each year towards a building fund. As of this year, we would like to invite the church into that. Okay, so we will explain a little bit more at the base camp service about some of these things. These things are needs, not just goals because we want to grow larger. Okay, this is because of what we are already having in our current state of affairs that we need a new space. Okay, so I would invite you into that as well. So for that, we allocated $15,000 last year. Just as part of whatever we received, we set aside $15,000 towards a new building fund. And we have done that for the previous years as well. So altogether, that makes up our $172,747 and around, let's say, $173,000. So taking that whole snapshot of how we spent the money we had and how we came under budget, one of our goals is to then give you a picture of how it's going to look in the coming year. Actually, I'll do another section before that. One of the things you would have noticed over the past year is our kids' ministry is really thriving and it's doing really well. So we have really wanted to see a way of getting behind our kids' ministry well, supporting them also financially, and making sure that we spend the necessary amount to make them thrive. So whatever that is, we make sure that we are always adjusting and making sure that from a ministry standpoint, that ministry is supported well. And going into this new year, we've started to focus a little bit more on how we network as men, as women, and just also with life groups and small groups. So some of these things are going to be more of a feature as we go into the coming year, of how do we focus our ministry efforts and spend money well to support the different ministry efforts we have within the local church. So be on the lookout for that. Secondly, being $27,000 odd under budget is quite a big thing. Right now, I just want to give you a quick snapshot of the money that we already have. And this is the money that we have banked, okay? So I just gave you a snapshot of how much of money we have budgeted for this past year and how much we spent. Okay, so now I just want to give you a picture of how much we have as a whole. So currently, we have about $296,785 in the bank, okay? And I'll just explain that to you in a second. All of this money isn't just sitting in one checking account. We have currently an operating account where we run our general expenses, utilities, payroll, things like that through. Then we have a short-term savings account, which allows us, just in case of rainy days, like an emergency kind of bucket, and another savings account for important projects or some things that happen on the fly in the course of a ministry year. And the last thing we have is a CD, where we keep our money that grows at a certain interest rate. So let me just break that down for you. So currently we have $229,879 in a short-term CD. Because we're considering the options of buying a new building and the possibility of needing access to our funds, we've tried to make sure that we don't lock up all of our money in long-term investments. So this was one of the reasons why we have a short-term CD, which is for about 18 months, which will expire in 2024. So that is at $229,879. Similarly, the capital projects, just in case there is something big that happens, like a few years ago, we needed a new roof, and out of the blue, we needed to spend money. So there's an account that we keep for things like that, or we had a basement flood earlier this year. So we have a capital projects account that has about $11,250 in that. Our savings account, and this is where we kind of use to take money and park money when we're putting it towards our new building fund. So since 2020, just to give you a picture, since 2020 we have saved around $64,000 towards a new building, which we've added to our savings, which is now in that CD. So our savings account right now has $538 in it. So that's $43,538. And our current account, we keep around the $15,000 mark because our monthly expenses are around that ballpark, between $11,000 to $13,000, so we'd like to keep a little bit of a buffer there. So our monthly expenses average about $11,000 to $13,000 a month. So that was to give you the overall snapshot of how much money we have currently and how much we spend off that. So $296,785. So about $297,000 we have as all of our money that we have on hand. And out of that, we anticipate every year. And out of that, we anticipate every year to have money coming in at the rate of about $195,000 to $200,000 a year. Okay, so last year we had a year where we had in excess of $225,000 come in. This year we're going to end up around $190,000 to $195,000 a year, this year. So as you can tell, there's like a little bit of a fluctuation, but we try and make sure that our expenses are always well under the $170,000 mark. Finally, I want to give you just a quick update on who we are supporting this coming year. Because there's been a lot of people that we have supported since 2020 that we've added, new people that were not part of our mission partner group. And we want to make sure that you know exactly who we're supporting. So these are all the people that we're supporting that we weren't supporting last year. So last year we supported Search for Me Ministries, which is run by Bob Santos, and it is a teaching and discipleship ministry. And you might know him mainly from the books that he has written. Secondly, we support Seeds of Faith Academy, which is a school, which is a Christian school based out in Creekside right now. We also support Life Choices, which is a pregnancy education center, which also supports single mothers and helps mothers make the choice for life. Fourthly, we also support George Ebenezer and the Child Healing Center in India. So for those of you who are newer to the church, this is an Indian ministry that we support that reaches many nations through the training and the counseling work that George Ebenezer does, particularly with marginalized and abused children. Last year, we also helped a startup church called For the City Church in Greensburg. For those of you who know Levi and Bridget McCracken, they were a part of our church. They are part of that church plant, and that church is thriving. So Pastor Scott Rising, who used to also serve in Indiana, went out to Greensburg to plant a church, and we're so glad to just see what God's doing with them. Finally, last year, we were also supporting Gap Ministries. Now, this is the ministry that's run by Jim and Jackie Green.
George and Jackie Green, so we can just start. Okay. We'll start in there.
started that by saying, I won't tell you what we did last year, but I'll tell you what we're doing.
Do you want to do it again?
Yeah.
You're more than welcome to it. I have plenty of space for that. So, what time do you have to leave by?
11.
Yeah. I got you covered then. I got 30 more minutes on you. Oh, no more. Where should I go back up?
Jesus. It's on 24 minutes.
Yeah, sweet. You got 70% value. You're good. I have hours of space in that car.
So I just want to take a little bit of time to give you how, give you a picture of how we have spent money last year on our mission partners, because that's a big part of what we do with the money that you give. And these are people that we support. Like we said, like I said earlier, we're not doing this on a tithing 10% basis, but we're asking the Lord to increase our faith and say, Lord, what are the things that you are doing in this time period? The pandemic brought a lot of things into focus for us to show that the Lord is doing things constantly, and we need to be a part of it. So, to that end, these are the people we supported last year. We supported Mission 24, which is an evangelistic mission run by Jonathan Conrath, and he's based out of the UK. And he has done fantastic work with a team. And he has Mission Impact Weeks, where he trains people to do evangelism, but also then takes them as interns to learn how to function in their local church and also in the power of the Holy Spirit. So if that is something you're interested in, reach out, and I'd love to connect you with them. We also support Search for Me Ministries, which is a teaching and discipleship ministry for leaders as well. This is run by Bob Santos, who is now based out of Virginia, but he was a member of our Indiana community for years and years. So we love him a lot, and just the things that he's doing are so on point with what the kingdom of God is about. So we love supporting that work. Thirdly, we also supported Seeds of Faith Academy, which is a Christian school based out in Creekside. They just recently moved there. So they're doing amazing work over there educating our kids. Life Choices is a community organization that focuses on pregnancy education and helping mothers choose life. So this isn't an anti-abortion clinic, but it is a clinic that focuses on people in that gap who need help, who need support, and help them make wise and good choices. So they offer that by going into schools, offering a day clinic where people who are still in early pregnancy can get care and coaching on how they could possibly take on motherhood. So these are all wonderful things that they do. Fifthly, we support the Child Healing Center run by George Ebenezer in India. Now, he works specifically with children who are victims of abuse and all kinds of issues in their current local setting. So he and a team of people, he trains leaders constantly to work in these vulnerable kid environments. So that's amazing work that they're doing there. Sixthly, we supported For the City Church, which is a church plant out in Greensburg. This was started by Pastor Scott Rising, who you might be familiar with, who previously used to pastor here at Harvest Indiana. So they started a church out just with a few couples. They just started, if you remember, Levi and Bridget McCracken, who used to be a part of our church. They joined them on this mission, and this church is thriving and really doing well down in Greensburg. So we're excited that we were able to partner with them. Lastly, we also supported Gap Ministries, and this is run by Jim and Jackie Green. They run what is called Celebrate Life, which was our recovery ministry for Indiana. And they have been ministering in this area for the last 8 years. And we as a church had the privilege of hosting them for nearly 4 years, and the Lord has given them a new space out in Clymer, and we're so excited as members of Word of Grace that they are seeing the Lord move and move in power in Clymer right now. So we're excited to back them too. Lastly, we also had benevolence giving. Again, this is something that grew dramatically in 2020 and 2021, because there were several needs that showed up on our radar, from needs within the church, but also needs outside of the church walls, community needs that we had to meet. So that is something that we decided to make a constant mission objective, to have money that we set aside for needs that show up, rather than just making decisions on a case-by-case basis. So going into next year, I want to give you a picture of where we're at with giving. These are new people that we're adding to the fold. So keeping all of those things in mind, we're going to continue giving to those different ministries that I just mentioned, and we're going to be adding a couple more. We are considering, and we have talked to them, the Keystone Family Alliance. Now, this is a newer group that is still trying to settle into Indiana's community. For those of you who are here at the Stand Sunday, which is focused on adoption and foster care, we want our church family, but also the wider church community, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in this area, where we are taking the lead, and we should be part of the solution to meet the need of the many, many kids who are in the foster care system in our community, but also the kids needing adoption. So if that's something that the Lord has laid on your heart, we would love to engage with you and start a care community group that can work with Keystone Family Alliance. So we're going to be supporting them. Andrew Sandine is another mission worker who was based out of Saving Grace Church, and he's now moving down to the border, actually closer to Arizona. He's going to be working down there, just caring for people on the border, first of all with legal help and other things that need to be done. So if you need more information on that mission work, just how the Lord would use Andrew down there, so we're going to be supporting that. Anna Ruth, who is a young girl who wrote to our eldership, and she's considering joining YWAM and serving in that capacity, so she needs monthly support. So we're considering supporting her on an ongoing basis. And within our church, we have Maddie Birmingham, who is a Young Life leader, and the work that she does. So we're supporting her and her ministry as well. So these are all the different people that we're supporting in going into 2023. Now, this makes up, all this giving makes up around 16% of our budget for the next year. So I'm just going to give you a snapshot now of what our whole budget is for 2023 with where it comes in with giving, where it comes in with our staffing and other things like that. So for 2023, we have a rough budget, expense budget of $175,000. This is with a little bit of an increase because of inflation and other things that have affected staffing, which will go up a little bit, but we have adjusted some other things to make sure that we're not going off the rails as far as that is concerned. So from an overall perspective, the last year, our So as we look into 2023, I want to give you just a basic picture of how we intend to adjust some of the things that I just mentioned. So some of these line items or these expense items will still continue to remain into 2023. The places where there will be slight shifts is, we have found that our utilities and our expenses on the building are just generally trending up. just because of expenses and how things have affected just globally and just our, particularly our state, how prices have gone up with energy and other things like that. So on those kind of things, we're just budgeting a little bit more. And then with staffing, one of the things with the enormous inflationary issues, for especially our hourly workers and those who serve in our cleaning, offices, finance, and things like that, their wages would have to go up at a certain rate to adjust for cost of living. So with those increases in mind, we are trying to make sure that we stay within a healthy budget expense-wise on other areas that we don't necessarily need to spend as much on. Especially as we focus on this whole idea of saying, Lord, we want a new space. We don't want to be spending immense amounts of cash on things to do with this building and its updates. So if there is something that needs to be repaired or fixed, we're considering more about how we maintain the things that we have well without pouring more cash into that. So our focus is to continue giving well and continue giving generously out of what the Lord has given us. We don't want, in this season of where we are seeing the Lord lead us to save for a new building, we don't want to then tighten everything up and hold it close. We want to be a people who continue to give generously because we have received generously. So if this is something that the Lord is asking you to partner with, I would encourage you to not only give generously to the church, but also consider giving to our new building fund, because that is something that we need to do anyway on the side. But we want to keep the mission of the church singular, that the Lord has called us to be a blessing to this community. So we want to continue doing that without restricting any of that. So our missional giving and our generosity will continue to be about 16% of that budget, which is coming in right now at about $26,700. On our staffing side, we're going to see a slight increase. So from about $97,000, it's going up to about $110,000. So that increase of about $10,000 to $12,000, now that's only budgeted. Where we usually end up as staff, just because we spend time with each other, talking with each other, doubling up on hours that we use, sometimes we don't even hit the quota that we budgeted for. So that has been the trend for those of us who work on staff. We make sure that we are not at our budgeted hours, but usually under our budgeted hours. So that's been one of the great things about having the team that we have. So this year we're going to be adding a member to the team. So we're going to have 6 employees. So that includes 2 cleaners, 2 administrators, a finance secretary, and I'm the only salaried member on staff right now. So everybody else works together with me, and we communicate, we help each other do the jobs that they have to do. But one of the things that we love doing together is making sure that we do things with integrity and do things well. So if there is an area that someone is struggling in, we want to make sure that we help them do their part well as well. We might cut that out. Was that last bit?
Yeah.
So, looking into 2023, this is what I really want us to keep in mind. As we continue to stay singularly focused on the mission of being a giving church, of being a church that reaches out to the community, we also want to be clearly focused. And many of you have given us this feedback in your survey, that you would really like to see if we're really going to move forward with looking for a new building. Because we don't want to just talk about it, we want to have a clear plan. So part of 2023, we're going to be spending some money to get an official valuation of this property, to make sure that we peg it right, so that we could actually start considering what that would mean if we sold this building. But at the same time, we would like to find a place first. If that is something that the Lord would give us, this coming year, that is something that we would like to look at. So start seeking the Lord to say, Lord, we need a building that will serve the community. We don't want another church building. We want a building that can be used to serve our community during the week. So we're not ideally looking for a church building. We're looking for a space that is possibly a larger warehouse, a place that could be used in multiple ways during the week, which would also serve as a wonderful place to have a church meeting. Okay? So keep that in mind as you go into this year saying, Lord, give us a place that we can call home, but also give us a place that the community can call home. Amen? So that would be just my parting encouragement, that as you partner with us, if you've not already been partnering with us financially, I would encourage you to. It is so wonderful when you get to partner with what God is doing. And I would love to have you on this journey with us. So I'm expecting the Lord to do amazing things in 2023. God bless you. So church, I'm so glad that you've been on this journey with us for this past year. If you've come into Word of Grace this past year, I'm just so glad that you're part of us. I just wanted to quickly touch on some quick points of what we have done this past year financially, just so you're aware. We had a budget of $196,300 for this year, to expenses-wise. And it looks like where we will end up over this year is we will end up with about $190,000 to $195,000 from an income standpoint. Now, expense-wise, we did not spend all $196,000 that we had budgeted. In fact, we came in at closer to $172,000, but say about $173,000. Now, that is almost $23,000 below budget. And that's a wonderful thing, because that means we can save more and give more to what God has given us to do. So if you read the report that we have a whole bunch of mission partners that we support during the year, and that giving has increased to about 18% of our budget. And we're so glad that is the case, and we want to continue doing that as we go into the future. One of the biggest shifts for us as we go into 2023 is we're going to be asking the Lord to give us a new space. We have a lot of thriving ministry that goes on in our church. Our kids ministry right now serves roughly 35 to 40 kids every week. And we're just so glad that we have a team that is almost 40 people strong. We have a team members of 40 members that actually serve our kids within a month. That is amazing. I'm so grateful for each of you who serve so, so diligently. Now, those kinds of things need more space. And as we have more teenagers and we have youth, we need to focus a little bit more on how we serve our youth and how they have programs that serve their needs. And our young adults who currently meet at United. But then we also have our women and men's ministries. These are all the places that are growing beyond where we were before. So we need to be making room for these things during the week, but also the spaces that would meet these needs well. Okay? So specifically on that area, we're looking for a new building. And this is something that many of you have actually given us feedback in your surveys. And we want to honor that. And we as an eldership are urgently looking for a new space. So with that in mind, for 2023, we're opening our new building fund as an option for you to give to. So if you're already someone who partners with us, I would encourage you as part of your giving, whether it is your regular tithe or your regular offering, to consider giving an additional gift towards our new building fund. Because we want to see the Lord move us way past the places we have been. So currently in bank, we have $296,785. So that is our overall savings and overall banking money that we have. A lot of that is being saved towards 229,000 of that is currently in a CD, which is accruing interest, but we don't want to lock it up for a long time just in case we need to buy a new space. Our savings and current accounts altogether are about 50,000. So we have money in the bank, and we are at the same time giving generously, but we want to make sure that we're ready for this next season. So will you partner with us as we go into this next season? Thank you. Wasn't clear enough. Let me just get some quick points and then I'll just write them down. Just pause that and then I'll. Detail do you give, how much do you not?
Right, because some people want it, some people don't, you know what I mean? So, and if you want to, we could do like a quick buffer thing while I have you sitting for like our regular main Facebook page.
Yeah.
If you want it. Like, hey church, I want to let you know, like, coming to the end of the year, our budget, we have this company up, like, you know, like, we have coming to the end of the year, we just got through with, I think we have like posted next week, like, we just got through with Basecamp, our Basecamp sermon, and we're going to
or this week we could put like you.
Yeah, either one. Like, I think like we could post this little small butter video this week to like, hey, this is coming up, this is how we're doing it. You know, if you want like if you want something to post on social, you can do
like
that too.
45 to 50 seconds?
Not even that long, like 30.
Okay.
So right. If you do 30, like people will actually watch the whole thing. But I'd say like this is what's coming up, be aware that it's gonna be on the page, so information let's know everything. Like,
it'll be in your email, it won't be on.
Right, yeah.
But this we can put all right, let me just quickly.
Then can I send me the copy of the notes when you're done, too?
Yeah.
I want all that.
I got the charts and everything.
So we make them. I'm trying to get, I'm trying to find a good one that I like that will let us do the, I guess, have like literally all floor, what will our thirds are, blur you out, just throw it up on the screen.
Okay.
All there, so that way it covers. I can do all that graphics, motion stuff, no issue at all.
Post this in the group, right?
I was thinking you could do two things. We can post it in the group, but it's a longer video, we can do it there, or we can just say, like, upload it to our YouTube channel under a private video. So that way, only people with the link can access the video.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, we share that on the Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we would do.
Yeah, that's that'd be that way. It should work pretty man. That way, like that way, you can also put it in the email.
You're just making an unlisted video.
Yes. Yeah, unlisted. It's a private video. It's unlisted. That way, you can send. You can also share it in an email too if you want to put an email blast out. Like, hey, here's the end.
Yeah. So I'm saying, but this snippet video.
That's going.
I'm gonna say God is faithful. We have increases in expenses, but we were under budget this year. Our giving has grown about 18%. Our giving to mission partners has grown to be about 18% of our overall expenses,
right,
which is great. Our income is down this year from previous years, and we are considering adding a focused effort towards a new building,
right,
in this coming year. So these are just a snapshot of the things that are going to be coming up in our report,
right,
that you can expect early in the year after base camp.
Right. Yeah. That works.
30 seconds.
Yeah. Simple. Done.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. See you.
And if you send me that raw video even,
okay,
for that short one, then I can post it in the different channels.
Right. Okay. That'll work.
Hey church, I just wanted to say a Merry Christmas to you all. I hope you've had a wonderful time with your family or friends. I just wanted to take a quick minute to tell you what's coming up. So you will be hearing from me over this coming week at church. We're going to be having a service called Base Camp, which is on January 1st, which is going to be our regular service. But I'm going to be talking about some of these important things that God's faithfulness to us in this past year. We had many things change. I'm just going to give you a quick highlight. We had an increase in our expenses this past year, but we came in under budget. Secondly, our giving to mission partners and to benevolence and to other agencies and to organizations grew to 18% of our budget. So our tithing and our giving outside of this church, we grew to 18%. This past year, the income that we brought in was a little bit down. So our income has reduced this past year, but the Lord has been faithful and our expenses were well under budget. Okay, so from a new things and things coming up, we're also considering a new building. So pay attention to that as we go into our base camp service and also into the next year. You'll be hearing more about this and watch out for that report. Have a wonderful New Year's Eve. God bless you. Bye. Hey church, our God is faithful. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend with your family and friends. I just want to share a little bit about what's coming up, okay? Now we have a base camp service on January 1st. This is a service where I'll be typically setting the vision of what God's going to be doing with us in this year ahead. But we also look back and we see what God has been doing this past year. Just as a few highlights, I just want to give you a couple of things. Our budget for the year, we came in well under the budget, okay? So we had some increases in expenses because of energy and staffing and other things, but guess what? We came in under budget. So I will share a little bit more about that. Our giving to other mission organizations and our generosity as a church to other mission organizations grew to 18% of our budget this year, which is awesome. I'm so glad about that. But you know what? This was also a year where our income went down, okay? So from previous years, and our income, just our projections, our income is down this year. But guess what? God has been faithful, and we've continued to live generously as a church. So that is one of the things that I really want you to take away. So as we get down to base camp, the last thing I want you to tell you is God has some new exciting things for us. Okay, you've given us feedback, and we've heard it. And I'm excited to share some things at base camp. So come ready and look out for a fuller finance report when we get to January 2023. God bless you. Okay. I think that one was slightly better.
Yeah. Always do two takes.
I'm like tired.
everybody gets that way. Sweet.
I don't know. Oh my gosh. Was this working?
Please go check.
I watched in the back. It was on.
Okay.
Yeah, if you haven't touched it since then, you're fine.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Judah. If you're new here, I'm one of the pastors here at Word of Grace. I also am wearing a few different hats today, which is cool, but I'm also excited to be sharing the word with you this morning. So you get a double dose. And I pray that in all of these things, we see Jesus, not what we do. I just want to start by saying there are things that God has for each one in this room. So whether you are young or whether you are old, I want you to expect to meet with God, okay? So if you're a teenager in this room who's about to go out, okay, I would encourage you right now as you get moved to that place there, while you're walking, okay, just say, Lord, I want to open my heart to you that you would change my life, all right? Can you do that? All right, you're dismissed. Go ahead. Have a great time. So my brother Donovan, for the last 2 weeks, was taking us through a series called Unstuck, which is a great series, specifically helping us see where we get trapped. As believers, we can sometimes get trapped in our own thinking or trapped in situations or things being done to us. And we get into this place where we feel like we cannot move or we cannot do something. We cannot think our way out of it. And God has help for us. Where Donovan ended last week, which I thought was very significant, I believe was also the Lord dealing with certain things prophetically in what we need to understand for what we're walking through in this time. God is speaking, okay? Fact. And he continues to speak today. My job as a believer in Jesus is to say, Lord, I want to hear what you're saying. And when I hear your voice, I want to respond. I don't want to just think about it, okay? I don't want to be someone who just passively listens to something, writes it down in my notebook, and then carry on, just move along. Donovan talked about the need for humility and obedience to God's word and his way that leads us out of places that are stuck. My response to God's voice will always determine how long I stay stuck. Qualification there, situations do not define whether you're stuck. Your situation can be the most trying, most restrictive, most exhausting, most there is no way out feeling. But you are not defined by your circumstance. It feels like the most real thing to you, but there is a truth that God is calling you to walk in or receive, that means I'm hearing your voice, I'm going to do that, just that. So if you're, like, let's put it in real terms. For those of you who are in college, finals week, things are exhausting, I don't know what to do, I don't know when it's morning, whether it's night. That's not going to change. But I can be settled in my spirit that God will instruct me, that God will refresh me in his presence while I respond to him. Do you see how from being stuck in the exhaust mode, you can move out of it because personally, you are responding to God. There is a refreshing that is not based on your body. Same thing, if you're a mom who's got multiple children and you're like, I cannot even. right? I know from being a parent myself, there are days when you just feel like the whole world is just squeezing you in. And you have to respond to God. Does that change the situation that you've got kids that are on you all the time? Maybe not. You cannot change that. But what you can change is saying, Lord, I want to receive from you. So that's the kind of context I want you to see. Being unstuck has to do with responding to God, okay? Not necessarily situations magically shifting. So when you do pray for the miraculous, when you do stand for God to break through for you, your spirit is ready to receive it. You're able to receive supernatural strength that will also manifest in your physical body. But it will not happen because you believed something and claimed it. It was the person you were involved with. It's not just taking Bible promises and saying them over and over again. That was not going to change your life. So what I have for you as a word today, and it's going to be something that I'm going to work through this whole Advent season, is a word that I believe the Lord wants His church to understand and receive, which is, I'm calling you to enter my rest. So this series on rest, I'm going to pause next week and the week after because I believe Alan has a word for us that he will teach on. But I'm going to keep working with this concept of what it means to be grounded or rooted in the rest of God. The peace of God is an overflow of that. But to enter God's rest is something that is found in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, before I unpack that, I just want to talk through a response that God often found in His people. In Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 through 16, it says, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us, for we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a firm foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. That word, the one who believes will not be in haste, it's the Hebrew word is actually haste, which is, it's not someone who suddenly, have you ever seen someone, you scare the bejesus out of somebody? Have you seen that? Like, that. So that's what that word haste is, where something startles you to the point where you literally go like that. So the person who is in Jesus will not be in that kind of sudden, overwhelming panic. But what was the response? Go back to that verse 14. God's people heard His voice, and these were the rulers in Jerusalem, the people who were the shepherds. So I'm talking to those who teach us and those who lead us first. We got to be careful. The ones who rule, the ones who help, who shepherd. Your boast was, we have entered into a covenant with death. I'm very proudly saying it too. The audacity that we have to say, oh yeah, we have our 401k. Yeah, we've got our thing sorted. We've got our kids in private schools. That's a covenant with death. When you are connected to the living God, you say, no, I prefer my party affiliation will save me. This new president will truly bring something in for me. Be careful where you're making your covenant. The systems of this world will never give you what you think you need. In Isaiah chapter 28, and this is God talking to his people, in the rebuke God had for them in that passage where he says, I came to you, and they started to look at God and says, are we kids that you have to talk to us like this again and again, saying the same thing? They literally blamed God for saying the same thing. Why do you keep saying the same thing? He's like, because I want you to hear me. I want you to understand. And he says, but because you will not hear, I will send you to foreign lands, okay, where your oppressors will have to, by crushing you, and then you will hear line on line, sentence by sentence, you will hear my word. For God's people, he comes to them with love and he says, I want to teach you. And we say, nah, we don't want any of it. I'm fine. I've got my marriage plan. I go to counseling. I have my medicines. I have my therapies. I have all of these things. These are covenants with death. Are they good things? Could be. But the moment you make that your hiding place, just see that verse right there. Because you think there is something foolish about what these guys were doing? They were actually being very politically smart by making sure that they did not lead them into a bad deal. They were making good deals. And this is what God calls them. We have made a lie our refuge and a falsehood our hiding place. Because you will not understand what it means to enter God's rest if you think what you got is restful. If what you think is perfectly fine. So Christian education is not going to save your kid. Holistic living is not going to save your body. Having the right kind of leaders is not going to save your country. Watch it. You're teetering on that place where you say, yeah, we've made a covenant with death. It's okay. Why? Because I came up with it. It was pretty good. God put it there for the taking. I took it. There is no one like God. No one. When God says his name continually, do not trade anything for who I am. So when he reaches out to you and you smack his hand away going, I'd much rather have the Nintendo Switch. I'm talking as a parent. We see that. We see that attitude. We see it come at us. You forget, I'm the one who bought the Switch in the first place. I'm the one who provides it in the first place. However, I am the one who's sitting with you right now. The one who is provision is sitting with you. And you say, no, I'd much rather have that. So now when you hear this verse, I hope you understand it slightly differently. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. You know that thing that seems to be controlling you? You cannot control me. You cannot tell me what to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle. I'm not heavy-handed, and I'm lowly in heart. You will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. My burden, it's light. Now that word rest over there has to do with a sense of ease and refreshment. He's telling you to stop doing what you're doing. That is what rest is. You know, like when you're working on a project and then you take a half hour, stop doing everything. That's rest. So one way the word rest is defined is a ceasing of something. If you were doing something, stop it. Rest. Pause. In music, that's what a rest means, right? In musical notation, you'll see rest in between. What does that mean? Nobody playing music. Stop it. Don't start. Ding, ding, ding. No. Shh. Rest. And we, in our walk with God, he's saying, stop. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm the one walking this road, and I will teach you how to live. Do you see, this is why I called out literally everything that you might think is actually good. Having a good family budget. Having wonderful, healthy eating. Having a good gym membership that you use properly. All of these things, great. But the moment it's a very fine line before these things start to become my hiding place. And I look at the provider and I say, yeah, I'm okay. You go help him. He needs help. I'm pretty good. He says, stop. I want you to stop. No, I got this. Stop. So rest in God has to do with the stopping. Okay? Can you mark that for yourself? In Isaiah 30, verses 9 through 15. So over the next few weeks, as we get into Christmas, when we get to that final day where we discuss that Jesus is born, what Jesus was bringing was something so unique, but I want to set the stage with you seeing how desperate the condition is. We don't think it's desperate. We think it's, yeah, you know, you live some, you win some, lose some. You have a good day, you have a bad day. God wanted to save you out of this kind of living, but you don't think it's bad enough. Isaiah 30, it says in verse 9, for they are a rebellious people. Lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. Who say to the seers, the people who see things in God, don't see. And to the prophets, don't prophesy what is right or speak, but speak smooth things to me. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear more, no more about the Holy One of Israel. We don't want to hear all this stuff. Why are you being such a doom and gloom kind of guy? God wants to change your life. He wants to transform who you are. What's wrong with me? I'm pretty fine. Therefore, this is what the Holy One says. Because you despise this word and trust in the oppression and the perverseness, and rely on them, therefore, this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed ruthlessly, and among its fragments, not a shard is found to which you can take from the hearth and dip it out and make a cistern. For thus says the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. But, no bueno. I like what I got. So are you starting to see a picture of what God's people are like? Do you see yourself anywhere in there? Because the gospel of salvation is something so drastically different that when Jesus came to save us, we say, I mean, it isn't that bad. I mean, okay, it's a way to get to heaven. No, it's not. It's not about you punching your ticket. It's a radically different, those who are aligned with Yahweh, those who are aligned with the God of heaven and earth are totally different from the people who belong to this earth. We're not like everybody else. So when he comes to us as a father would and say, I have instruction for you, I would say, pay attention. Now I can go to Hebrews. Because Hebrews is written by, we don't know the author's name, but it was written between 60 and 70 AD. So this is like a time period where the church has already been planted. They're starting to get established and things. But there were lots of Jewish traditions that were not fully understood. What does it mean in this new covenant that Jesus has made? So the book of Hebrews is a great read to unpack some of the things from the Old Testament that we didn't see. So the first thing the book of Hebrews starts off with is establishing who Jesus is. Jesus, there is nobody like him. Stop trying to compare him alongside Buddha, Muhammad, all of these other like holy people. Oh yeah, he was the Christian version of that. He is the first. He is above all things. In the second chapter of Hebrews, he goes into great detail to say he wasn't just supernatural. He was a heavenly being like unlike any other. Drawing the distinction between why Jesus was the Son of God, not just an angelic being. He was the only one who could pay for your sin. He was the only one who could come in and say, I will give you rest. No one else could. The problem is we think that our ways of being Christian is good enough. If I did the right things, if I read enough Bible, if I sent my kid, like I said, all of the things that I just mentioned, all of those things which are good things become our hiding place instead of him being our hiding place. So when he calls to them, he says, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Because he had talked to the nation of Israel and he had given them fresh water. And they grumbled against him, saying, you brought us out here to kill us. The nation of Israel was walking through the desert. Egypt had just let go of them. Imagine this. You're in bondage. God rescues you, takes you out. And then you're like, we don't have meat like we used to. I mean, the water, there's no water. I mean, some Sprite or, you know. Seriously? And God's anger as a parent with, are you kidding me now? They will not enter my rest. And then you see Moses intercede as a type of Jesus. He comes in and he says, Lord, these are your people. For the sake of your name, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. So in Hebrews chapter 3, he's referencing these things. In this context, the word rest has to do with where you stay, a place. So if I were to say, what is home? The way we would describe it right now would be home, not house. Home is where I feel I can put my jammies on, get my cozy socks. That's me. That's my resting place. So that's the context when God says they will not enter my resting place. The place where I dwell. Newsflash. Guess where God's resting place is today? Do you not know? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He decides to make his resting place in the life of a believer who says, Jesus is Lord. Do you not know that you are one spirit with the Lord? mind blown. That God, the God of heaven and earth, who I could not go near. Hebrews goes into this. The blood of goats and bulls and could never make me clean to go in. But Jesus stepped in. Not just to make me acceptable, because this was one thing the Old Testament sacrifices could never do. It could never make you guiltless. You still carried the guilt. If you did something wrong, you were covered to enter. You were cleansed ceremonially to enter in. Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to just cover your tab so that you can enter in. He says, I'm going to clean the inside. That part of you that is so infected, that feels icky, I'm going to clean that. So when Jesus shows up and he says, come, enter my rest. And you go, Hebrews chapter 3 tells us what that issue was. Take care, brothers, verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 3, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort or encourage or provoke one another every day, as long as it is called what day? Today. As long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Can you say deceitfulness of sin? That, you know what the word deceitful means? It's going to trick you. If you know how to spot sin for being sin, it wouldn't be deceitful. Are you hearing me? This is why I'm saying your 401k can become a trap. Your family can become a trap. Your holistic living can become a trap. Whatever it is, put whatever it is that you think you're great at keeping under control. Where the hiding place suddenly has become an earthly thing. And he says, and you refuse to come to me. And what is the source problem there? I will not take God at his word. And what does that cause? Unbelief. I mean, I know God loves me, but we have such large buts that we don't know how to move anywhere in life because everything has this long but. I hope you'll remember that point now. It's going to stick. Think about large buts. It's like, when we are struggling with something in life, we say, God says he heals all my diseases, but it's winter. Come on. It's cootie time. Do you see how very casually we said that, put that but in there? Because I don't expect God to do anything he said. Do you see how casual that was? My husband or my wife, I mean, she's a woman, so I mean, she's just going to keep going on that, you know. I choose to see my spouse just as a person who is not under the lordship of Jesus. God helps my wife, but she's always going to be like that. Do you see how casual we are? It's casual. The deceitfulness of sin draws you to a place of casual belief where you think you're actually believing God. But you've traded. I hope you're starting to see how critical what we're talking about is. Verse 14. So don't be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, for we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original confidence, firm to the end. As it is said, this is going back in Scripture, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Now, would any of us say we are in rebellion? Okay. But the deceitfulness of sin leads me to rebellion, and I don't even know it. I will proudly proclaim that God has no answers for my financial trouble. I just need to be better at budgeting, or I just need to be better at this. The fact that I can bring the mundane, what I call God's got, have you heard this one? God's got bigger things to worry about. As the reason for why I don't bring an area of my life to God. The audacity. We think, oh yeah, I'm just going to live my life. You see how deceitful that was? We act like as if we're doing God a service by not bugging him with the stuff. And he says, you deliberately hid that from me when I said, I want to transform that part of your life. So take care, brothers. Don't let sin trick you. Entering the dwelling place of God, where God has ceased from his labors, you too. He's calling you to stop. Come in. And this is what I started off with. What God is doing in your spirit, what God is doing in the inner man or woman, what we call the spirit, soul, and body, the spirit that has been made alive to Jesus is the resting place where God meets you. Because guess what? That's where he is. And he calls you, invites you into a communion with him, and he says, will you come meet with me? Don't give me big reasons, because we would love to use our soulish understanding of the things we're going through and what we think is the solution to the problem. And he says, the things of God are spirit. The things of God are truth. If you are going to deal with me, it has to be spirit and truth. You cannot figure your way through this. He says that is the fruit of it. It's the fruit of meeting with me. It's the fruit of receiving what I have done. Then your thinking is transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if you start here, you will always go to the same place. A broken fountain, a broken cistern, a place that cannot hold water. Because it is meaning something that fits in my logic is how God will operate. What happens when God goes off the reservation with something that he's going to do? Sorry, too much for me. What God is calling you to might mean death to so many things in your life, things that you have held dear. It's worth the cost. And this is not some fundamentalist kind of, let's get everything fun about your life cut out. Because that's the other extreme. We have some people who preach, like, if you're having fun, something must be wrong. God loves for you to enjoy his presence. He loves for you to thrive in the things that you excel at. But it is never with you placing your hope in those things. And this is where the deceitfulness of sin comes in. It says, no, you're fine. You actually trust God, but you're a pretty smart guy. You'll figure it out. And if you've been in this church long enough, you've heard me say this over and over again. It is not the things that I fail at that I'm worried about. It's the things that I'm great at. Because those are the places where I've learned to make myself like the Most High God. I don't call myself the Most High God, but I'm pretty close. Do you see how Lucifer was tricked into these things? Where pride slowly creeps in and says, I don't need God to be the resting place. I can be that. If I just get my investments right. Have you heard that? I can rest. If I just get my kids trained to this point, I can rest. If I just get my... What? Do you see how you so quickly got on that bandwagon and you thought you were doing yourself a great favor? It wasn't coming out of rest. So when God calls us, he says, today if you hear his voice, I want you to see it is going right back into the Old Testament, into Exodus. It's going through Psalms. It's going through all of these passages of scripture where it says, this is the story of God's people going way back. Every single time God spoke, they were like, yeah, but, yeah, but. If you read through the Bible, you will find something very peculiar, but it is something that will really speak to where we are today. The problem wasn't that Israel chased after other gods and did not worship Yahweh. The problem was not that they did not worship Yahweh. The problem was they worshiped Yahweh and... We'll just keep this around. Yahweh and we can have wives wherever we want. Yahweh and we can do business wherever we want. And little did they know, their heart was being infected the whole time with a way of living they were not designed for. So now bring that into the new covenant with Jesus. He says, I've made you entirely new. Stop feeding that. The rest God has for you, I don't even know how to put it into words. There will be such an anchored sense you have about what it means to be so found in God. The world could go and you would still be, yeah. It's not this trite, God's on the throne, so I don't, it's not a trite phrase. You know whose you are, and you say, Lord, if I am here on earth, there are things to be done on earth. While I'm alive, I want my life to be the resting place where God is enthroned. There is coming a time where he will come back and make his resting place with us in person. In this time, he says, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, and he will be with you, and he will be in you to the end of this age. Wow. So when we talk about Jesus coming, I want you to know rest is coming. A ceasing from striving is coming. We're on the other side of that story. Imagine this. When Jesus was born, the only thing the world knew was trying to strive to get back near God. And God says, you can enter my rest. Not only can you enter my dwelling place, I will give rest for your souls. A calmness, a refreshing. If you're exhausted, so now I want to speak to the other side of that. So on the one side of it was this casual unbelief, right? The sin of casual unbelief. Of not taking God seriously. On the other hand, there are those of you in this room who believe God with all your heart, but you're tired. It's a tired belief. And I want to encourage you, stop striving. There is a work that Jesus has done, and he's saying, just rest. Come to me. Are you heavy? I know you've done well. You've come. learn from me. There are things that I will take off of you, that heavy burden you're carrying. You were never meant to carry that. My son, my daughter, you are not casual with the things I say. You are not dismissive when I speak to you. But you feel burdened. You feel like there's a burden on you. Give it to me. So I don't just want you to come into the place where I live. I want you to be someone who's also quietened by my love. That's why in Isaiah chapter 30, can we read that verse again? Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 15. For thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, so come back to me in returning and rest, you shall be saved. So that word rest over there is the word stop. In returning and stop. Cease. So when you come back to me and stop all your fixings, stop it. In quietness, so be quiet, be still. Let me hold you. Let me just hold you. How many of you in this room have had a child, especially mothers and fathers in this room will understand, when they're really, really hurt by something and they're just besides themselves. And then you pull them close. Ah, don't touch it! Don't touch it! And you're like, just come here. And you're trying to be as calm as possible while dealing with whatever injured them. Sometimes it's a nothing. Sometimes it is something serious. But regardless, there comes a moment where you kind of just put them in a vice-like grip, right? And then you hold them, and then suddenly you see them go. That is what quietness and trust is. He brings you to quiet. It's not, keep quiet. It's not that. It's just by virtue of being connected in your returning to me, the moment you get mom snuggles or dad hugs, suddenly there's something that breaks, that even if there's something really painful going on, they're able to articulate what happened. They're able to tell you what's wrong with them. And they're able to process what's going on. So there are certain things that in your life, there are things that you need to process rather than just react to. And God's saying, come here. Come here. No, don't touch it! That's our response. Every time God calls, we go, don't touch it! This is not on this side where you're like, I don't care. I don't need your voice. This is not that casual, dismissive. This is a hurt child who doesn't know how to believe in this situation. But I know you're my dad. He says, come, I have rest for you too. Come here. And I hope you hear both sides of this. So if you're in a place where your heart has been calloused by the deceitfulness of sin, things that you have enthroned in your life, things that you have made God in your life, this is not me judging you. This is not me calling you into condemnation. This is me saying, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Don't respond. Say, Lord, here it is. I want to enter that rest because you have promised this rest to anyone who will hear your voice and believe you. When it is mixed with faith, your yes, when it is mixed with faith, it starts to become the salvation that is given to anyone who will believe. Anyone. No matter what your story was. No matter where you came from. No matter what people did to you. When you say yes to Jesus and you say, Lord, I don't know how to fix this. He says, come. He pulls you in and he says, enter my resting place. Read Hebrews chapter two, three, four, and five. You'll start to see this picture unfold of God saying, He came to His people, but they did not respond with faith. They responded with a casual, like, oh, we're God's people. He should fix this. And I don't really care what God thinks because we got this figured out. And on the other hand, you have people who are saying, Lord, I want to be someone who responds to you. I just don't know. I'm tired or I'm hurt. What you need to understand is your God pursues you, which is something that really hit me while I was preparing for this time of worship, was the God who fights for us is mighty in our midst. Imagine all the big battles you're facing in your life. He says, I'll go to fight for you. I will cover you. I will be the one who speaks a better word over you. You don't have to try and make it happen. But if you hear His voice and you hear your Heavenly Father say, come here, please just go. It doesn't have to be complicated. Don't overcomplicate what God is making very simple. When He says to you, respond to me with this simple prayer or read this passage of Scripture, you'll start to find the Holy Spirit starts to unlock things in you that no amount of you trying to fix it would have ever done. God will give you wisdom. Can we just commit ourselves to the Lord right now? Father, we thank You that Your rest remains for those who put their trust in You. Lord, so we abandon our way of doing things. We cease from those things. We cease from our striving. We thank You for the Sabbath rest that You have called us to. Lord, we thank You that these things are truth, that these things are life to us, that You would make us fit, Lord, to live in a time where so many things can easily trick us into being our safe spaces. Lord, that You alone would be our hiding place, that You alone would be the place we call home. Lord, I ask that You'd help the hearts that are hurting this morning, Lord. Lord, the hearts that are in anguish, Lord, over things that have happened. Lord, that You call them near. Lord, I ask that You'd help them with their yes to You. Lord, the heart that needs to respond, Lord, this morning for the first time to the gospel that You alone can save. We ask, O Lord, that You would reveal Jesus in a special way, that You alone can cleanse us from every unrighteousness, Lord God, and bring us into newness of life. We thank You for that. So, Lord, for each person here, we pray the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, would be manifest in each one here. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing. Lord, I ask that You'd help us all together as a church. Lord, that word of grace would be a church, Lord, that enters into Your rest. Lord, as we say goodbye to 2024 and as we step into this Christmas season, Lord, that we wouldn't just be a church that celebrates things in a trite way, Lord, but we would be made aware of what it means to be at rest, what it means to be at home with You. We say these things, Lord, in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.